you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, November 24th, 2020. I'm cutting right to the chase. It's Thanksgiving week, so happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Marianne. Happy
Same
Thanksgiving,
to you, Mark,
Bob.
And Marianne.
We said that yesterday.
Yes, if you were tuned in yesterday.
So we're still happy then.
Yes,
we are.
Happy and thankful.
For Thanksgiving, yeah.
And in fact, tomorrow and Thursday, I'm still working it out, but I think there'll be some kind of special Thanksgiving programming, maybe a two-day look at the pilgrims and such. I'm still working that out.
Is that from Moody?
The Moody Broadcasting Network. I'm deciding or determining what'll fit in during the morning program. So be listening for special programming on Wednesday and Thursday. And then Friday we begin with Christmas music. So we'll be launching into a weekend of Christmas music. So there'll be some great favorites that I hope you'll enjoy. But yesterday, if you were tuned in, you knew we were just barely scratching the surface on our verse for the week, Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. And we interspersed some of yesterday's programming with a little of Bob Dickey's testimony, but we asked him back because he so loves this verse, and we didn't get to flush out all the ramifications, all the power, all the meaning that God would want all of us to individualize or take in or take to heart. And so Bob, jump right back in. You were telling some stories and the uniqueness of this verse, and somehow intersperse some of your testimony on this Testimony Tuesday into today's program. And I will say, yesterday's program is archived and accessible anytime at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, or for that matter, WLUJ.org, WLUJ.org.
Okay. Well, one of the things, Mark, if I may, because I'm going to jump right in there, okay, is I struggle with this idea of being ashamed. What does it mean to be ashamed? And one of the unique things about shame, I mean, there's different ways of looking at it. You can feel guilty, okay, or embarrassed, have regrets. I mean, I've had all those. And a lot of those are like of being ashamed, okay? And by the way, shame didn't happen until Adam and Eve sinned, okay? And the way they knew they were ashamed, they didn't talk about it then, but they said they were naked, okay, before they sinned, and they were not ashamed. Once they committed the sin, once Eve was deceived by the serpent and Adam ate of it, and he wasn't deceived. He did it willfully. He sinned, okay, and that's why it's Adam that holds the major responsibility here. But they were ashamed, and they covered themselves. Now, I have this thought. I don't think Adam was worried about how Eve looked. I think he was pretty pleased with how Eve looked. I don't think Eve was worried about how Adam looked. Okay, the shame was to themselves. But they both had shame. They both felt guilty. They were both embarrassed. And it went to so far as to being fearful, because they went and they hid from God. Okay, something happened and they knew it. And so not only did they hide, they covered themselves with fig leaves. Okay, and we've been to Israel, and you've been a lot more times than I have. Those fig leaves, it took a lot of fig leaves to do that. I mean, to cover themselves, okay? But they knew they needed to cover because they were guilty, okay? So now that's internal shame. Then there's this other kind of embarrassment or shame or regret that people impose upon us because of something we may say. And the gospel is offensive to a lot of people. And Paul knew that. He's wanting to come to Rome. Okay, he's on his way to Rome. He's writing a letter to the Romans saying, I want to come there. He knew all about the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was harsh people. They were harsh. What they did is they didn't care about anybody, how they felt about anything. They ruled with a rod of iron. And if they didn't believe or accept what you said, they humiliated you. So you can imagine when Jesus, when he came on this earth during the time of the Roman Empire, and he presented the gospel message and why people needed salvation, the Romans thought that was ridiculous, to the point that they decided to humiliate him by hanging him on a cross naked, the ultimate of humiliation. Paul knew all of this, but it didn't stop him from sharing the gospel because he knew the end from the beginning. And he realized that this was real. So no matter what someone else tried to do to him and shame him, he was not going to be ashamed because this was truth and it changed people's lives. Right. And that's where we need to be. What Marianne read there yesterday about Paul was a debtor. Paul was ready. Paul's not ashamed. He understood. And that's where we need to get ourselves.
I agree with that. You know, when I was thinking about this scripture, I thought about Paul writing it. And then I thought about his life and what we know that he did. I mean, he went in front of King Agrippa. He went in front of people in Ephesus who threw things at him and wanted him killed. And he was not ashamed to say what he believed. And I just, you know, sometimes it makes me think, you know, there's times when people share the gospel and you kind of, this is horrible to say, but it's true, you kind of sit back and you're like, oh gosh, I wish they hadn't said it that way, or I wish they would be more this or that when they talk about the gospel. And then I think to myself, I've been thinking about this a lot recently, you know what? They're not ashamed, at least. I need to really give them credit. Yeah, at least they're sharing the gospel. They're not ashamed to do it.
Yeah.
And so I need to not ever be critical or judge that, how they're doing it.
Okay, well, how did Jesus respond to it? I'm looking at a verse here that basically, this is Hebrews 12:2. Okay, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God.
Mm-hmm.
He knew, what's it say here? For the joy set before him. We have that same joy set before us. If we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, no matter what people say to us, We shouldn't be reacting in shame when we share the gospel, because we know the joy set before us. Christ was the first fruits, you know, of us, and this is what we should understand. And so it should not deter us from sharing that gospel. So that shame, we're going to hear shame. We're going to get shame. I mean, look what Paul went through. How many times was he beaten? How many times was he stoned? How many times was he thrown overboard? All because they were trying to shame him and stop him from doing what he was doing. There was nothing there that was going to stop him. So if shame is about guilt, and shame is about regrets, and shame is about being embarrassed and disrespected, okay, or something we have failed to do, or fear because we failed, well, then the opposite of that, the opposite of shame, is having a sense of pride, sense of glory, and sense of approval. Mm-hmm. That's how we should be thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Unashamed.
Unashamed. That's what unashamed means. And that's what Paul was trying to say to us. So that's the idea of shame. I want to get now to this other part about salvation. I already said yesterday, this is one thing that I hadn't fully grasped. Okay? Salvation is a trip. Okay? You have a starting point. Okay? And you're going to have an ending point. But
it was like a double entendre there. Like, you know, in the 60s, what a trip, man, or, you know, like a positive thing, but you're really talking about a destination, a journey, path.
Yeah. Being a Christian, knowing Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, most people think, I made it to heaven, okay?
Yeah.
But no, that's just the beginning, okay? We know we're going to heaven, we're being sealed by the Holy Spirit because we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, but there is this lordship of Jesus Christ, okay? I've got a yard sign. Okay, it says, Jesus is my Savior, Trump is my president. And he will be my president until the 21st of January. Okay, and we may have a new president, and he'll be my president, right? But that's, the sign's wrong. It should say, Jesus is my Savior and Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Because once we accept him as Savior, we are to obey him. Salvation is more than believing that Jesus cried on the cross for my sins and rose again from the dead. Salvation changes my life. And that's what I meant when I shared yesterday. Romans 1:16 changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me a whole new understanding. And as you gain the understanding of who Jesus is and how he works in your life, I had the privilege of going to India 10 years ago on a missions trip with our church. And our two leaders were two of the godliest people I know, Sue Keen and Del Banner.
Mm.
And we visited an orphanage. In fact, we basically stayed there at the orphanage. And we visited prisons. And Dale Banner and I had a chance to share Romans, a part of Romans, the book of Romans, with over 200 pastors.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, up until that point in time, missionaries from churches had come over, and they had taught from the Bible, but it was always the four Gospels and the book of Revelation.
Hmm.
So they knew the beginning, why Jesus came, and they knew how it was going to end, but you know what they didn't know? Is how to live.
Mm-hmm.
How to live today. Romans is the book on how to live today. It takes that salvation and it applies to my life today.
It's interesting.
And it's for believers. Okay. Now, if I'm a believer, a belief requires, if I believe something, I should act upon it. In other words, if you don't, just it's not a mental assent only. And I'm concerned about this because I think a lot of people who attend church today, okay, have a mental assent, but you don't see it in their life.
Yeah, okay? It's not lived out.
No. In fact, there's no different. Barna research says that the Christians today are basically like society and the culture of today. You can't really tell a difference. Now, the problem we have is that brings shame to the gospel. Because what happens is that people who know us, we proclaim we know Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, but they don't see any difference in their life. Okay? And so we're not being obedient to the word and we're not acting it out. I've been there. I've done it to my chagrin, to my shame. Okay? But once you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, once you understand what salvation is all about, there is an obedience factor. You cannot ignore the obedience. Where do I know about this? It's God's Word. Romans is a perfect book to talk about how we should live today. It even talks about governments. What do we do with governments? How are we supposed to handle that? So man today has a tendency now of basically having a mental assent but not having a heart change. And until he got a hold of my heart, I didn't change much either. Because once I understand the full scope of salvation and that God's in it with me, not just God the Father, but it's God the Son and God the Holy Spirit working with me, in me, and if I listen to them and if I obey them, this is an exciting journey. What else happens is you cannot want to share the gospel. There is no situation where it becomes impossible to share the gospel. Because regardless of what the circuit, it's not about the response. It's about sharing. Just like Paul said, I am a debtor. I am ready. I am not ashamed. Yeah. And when we see it that way, every Christian who sees it that way will share the gospel. If you're not sharing the gospel, now I'm going to get a little tough here. I was there. If you're not sharing the gospel, there's something wrong in your spiritual life.
I just thought about it. I wonder if not sharing the gospel is a form of selfishness. I mean, how could you, that's selfish. How could you know something so important for humankind, like the cure for everything, but you don't. And you just don't bother.
But you don't. You're not in his word. Your life has not changed. You think you're going to heaven, and you're living the life exactly the way you used to live, always lived it.
But by Marianne's posing, why don't we? Is it
it's selfish.
Because of, yeah, selfish? Is it because of our pride? We don't want to be rejected. Is it?
Well, we're always afraid of rejection. But why are we afraid of rejection when Christ said you're going to be rejected, you're going to be persecuted? What is it that he didn't tell us ahead of time that we
don't
want to
read those parts?
So if I know,
read my lips. You are going to be rejected.
Read my word. Read my word. Because if you know that being a Christian, that's what happens to you. He didn't hide anything from us. And you want to call yourself a Christian? Then you better act like a Christian, and you better expect these things to happen to you.
Yeah. Well, I think another factor, or maybe an element, is it's how we get so distracted or caught up in the world, or we get so preoccupied. Some would say we get, what's it when you get so comfortable? You get complacent, and you just, for whatever reason, you busy yourself with life, and you forget the utmost important, and you forget the power of God.
The power of God, yeah. So this doesn't happen overnight. Well, I am still in the process of being saved. Yeah. Okay, Scofield Bible Notes.
Well, sanctified. You're saved.
Salvation is more than sanctification.
Yeah.
Okay, it is. It's part of it. Yeah. But, I mean, there's a whole process. Right. The word saved is not past tense. The word saved is continual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But we're all there. Bob Dickey's not there.
You know, one thing people have said before is, we have been saved. We are being saved. And we will be saved. I think we all know there's something out there in the future that's more about us being saved than our current state.
Okay, so here's what, here's what Scofield says.
The redemption of the whole creation.
Yeah, here's what Scofield Bible Study says. Okay, and this is one of the first Bibles I bought when I was a young person. The believer has been saved.
A long time ago.
The believer has been saved.
Got to bring a little levity.
You know, he is not that much older than you are, but let's just get back to business.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
The believer has been saved from guilt and the penalty of sin and is safe. This is the process of salvation. There's three tenses to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
The second tense is the believer is being saved from the habit and dominion of sin.
Mm-hmm.
There should be changes in my life that the things that used to be important to me that were sin are no longer important to me.
Mm-hmm.
If I continue doing what I have always done and it's sin, then there's something missing in the salvation part of what God is trying to do in my life. And as I progress, I become more and more conformed to the conformity of Christ.
I think that would really help all of us, I know me, to keep those juxtapositions of those three parts all together, because what you're saying about we are being saved, that's a great kind of healthy, inspiring way to look at things. Like, let's say you're being tempted with something. Instead of saying, oh, I have to let the old man go, oh, dear, I'm struggling, just say, oh, dear, I'm being saved out of that. I'm being saved out of that temptation. I'm being saved out of that bad road.
That's not the man I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not going to be the man I used to be, but it's through God's help. It's not Bob trying to fix it.
Bob
spent too many years trying to fix it himself
because
I thought that was now my responsibility. It is my responsibility to listen to the Holy Spirit, to read God's Word, and to trust Him and ask Him for guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wake up in the morning and say, Lord, what would you have me do today? I may not know what it is He asked me to do today. I also wake up in the morning and say, Lord, bring someone in my life that I may share the gospel with.
Oh, that's a really good prayer.
And what happens, and there's other prayers too, they're part of that prayer, but those are two things I pray over and over again. I thank Him, obviously, for being alive, and His grace and His mercy is good for another day.
Mm-hmm.
God, I mean, because it's grace and mercy that saved us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
His grace and mercy. But now I am looking, I'm focusing on what is it, Lord, you'd have me to do. I didn't used to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was the way I was. Bob is proactive. He's always trying to figure out things. He goes before he looks. Okay, and then he finds out, Lord, that's not what you wanted me to do, was it? You know, John Piper, don't waste your life. I'm learning how to not waste my life.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we're at. I want to close, if I may. We're getting close to closing. Okay, we still fail. Okay, I did recently, to my shame. I had the opportunity. I like to pick up hitchhikers. If they're by themselves, and I'm by myself, I love picking up hitchhikers and just getting a chance to talk to them.
Gives you a captive audience.
Captive audience. It's like being in an airplane. You don't want to be sitting in an airplane next to me. Okay. I've had some.
I don't know. We might gain from it.
Yeah, we would like it. But
yeah, you might. But I mean,
some people might not.
I've had
some
phenomenal conversation with people in the airport about the gospel.
Yeah, I mean, I bet you have.
Oh, I could tell you story after story after story of that. But long story short, in this case, I had this opportunity to talk with a stranger. He was I'm going through the country.
And this was recent.
So recent, it was 10 days ago. Okay.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Okay. And this guy was walking along the road out in the middle of the country. And I had my little granddaughter with me. I don't pick people up when I got my family with me.
No.
I only do it when I'm by myself. So I took her to our house, and I came back to get this guy because I'm thinking, what's he doing out here in the middle of the country walking alongside the road? So he got about a half mile down the road by the time I got back to him. And I asked him, I said, you need a ride? He said, I'd love to have a ride. Okay, and I said, well, hop in. I said, where are you going? He said, well, I live in Gibson City. He said, near the Central Soleil. And,
and Gibson City is where you've been for many years and grown up.
Since October 6th of 1979. Okay, and haven't moved from that location. And that's the house. So I pick him up. And so we do small talk. Shake his hand. You know, he shakes my hand. Then he says, I said, well, why are you out here in the country? He said, well, I was at work there at the local seed place. And he said, I just don't feel good. So I decided to go home. He said, I wasn't going to go down 47 because it's too busy and I might cause an accident. So I was walking a long way around. And I said, well, I'm glad I was able to pick you up, because he was going to walk 2 miles out of the way to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm not feeling good. And I'm going, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Mask goes on.
Yeah.
Bendel's note says, Bob, wash your hands when you get home.
Yeah.
He put his mask on.
Yeah.
Okay, so as we talk, we're getting close to his home. And I said, can I ask you a personal question? And he said, sure. And I said, do you attend a church? Are you spiritual? Do you attend a church anywhere here in town? I've never seen this man before.
Mm-hmm.
He's lived in Gibson City since about 2000. I've never seen this man.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, as a matter of fact, I attended, and he told me who the church was. And, you know, I said, well, great. And we talked a little bit more and got into his house. I shook his hand and said, I hope you get well. Okay, so I go home and made a note to go see the pastor, find out more about this guy. So I'm sitting in the pastor's office. Now, this was about 10 days ago, okay? And this past Monday, I'm in the pastor's office, and I mentioned this guy, and the pastor says, well, I'm aware of him, but he's never been to our church. Mm-hmm. He said, but this I know. He died on his front porch Thursday night.
Oh, my goodness.
And I lost it. Mm-hmm. Because normally, when I have somebody in my car, I had different reasons for asking that question I asked him. But it was the wrong reason. It was for Bob's reason. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the Lord's reason. Because when I normally have somebody in my car with me, or sitting by the plane, I ask them, are you a spiritual person? I want to find out where they're at in their spirituality. And if they say, you know, of course I ask permission. May I ask you a personal question? And they say yes. Then I say, are you a spiritual person? And if they say yes, then I say, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? The very next question. And then I wait for their answer. I didn't ask him that question.
One of the rare times you did.
Oh my goodness.
The rarest times I didn't ask that question. Church doesn't save. What church you go to doesn't give you eternal salvation. It's what you do with Jesus. And if you know the gospel, and if somebody shared the gospel with you, I couldn't believe it.
Oh.
I couldn't believe it that I did that. Because that's not what I normally do. But I did it. I failed, and to my shame.
You asked him what church he went to instead of, does he know Jesus?
Yes. Oh. And many times Christians do that, though.
Oh, yeah.
They think that if they can get him in church, they can get him saved. Getting people in the church, it's like what some may say, just because you're parked in a garage doesn't make you a car, right? Well, going to church doesn't save you. Jesus saves.
Yeah.
Jesus saves. So the good news I know about that is that the power of God is still working out that salvation in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's overcoming those failures that I've got. Okay, because I believe the gospel, and I'm totally, totally committed to following him. My question is to our audience, where are you at in your walk with the Lord? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and salvation. Okay, to those who believe. It's not just mental, it's in their heart, and they act upon it. Okay, and both to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
And I think this question that you're asking our listeners, it may be tugging on some hearts, because there are probably some people tuned in that if you said, if you were going to die today, where would you end up?
That's the next question I ask if they say they think that, if they really don't know Jesus.
So, you know, whether or not, do you know Jesus? Do you know him as Lord and Savior? And is your eternity decided? Have you accepted him into your heart? Do you accept him as Lord and Savior, as the one true and only way to have a relationship with God the Father? With the only true God. I mean, there are many gods and things that people follow, but, you know, knowing Jesus Christ, God's Son, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, the Godhead in human form who died on the cross for our sins, for your sins, for my sins. Have you asked him into your heart? And if that is a stirring question that maybe you haven't answered yet, we would encourage you to call 1-888-NEED-HIM. 1-888-NEED-HIM. There are great people that can answer your questions about following Jesus. Who is God? Can you trust the Bible?
Now get in the Word. God's Word is powerful. It changes hearts.
Yeah, it's the power of God into salvation. It's the gospel.
Amen and amen. Well, call 1-888-NEED-HIM if you have questions about the Christian faith, following Jesus, who is God, how you can trust the Bible. Any of your questions, they'd be happy to answer it. It's a free call, and maybe today will be your new life in Christ as you follow and ask Jesus into your heart.
Praise God.
Well, thanks for listening. Thank you, Bob, for being available. If you missed a portion of today or yesterday's broadcast, or for that matter, when we started Memorization Monday about a year and a half or more ago, some more of Bob's testimony and some of his sharing is on those programs. They're archived at greatnewsradio.org.
I want to be sure and say have a wonderful Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Bob Dickey with Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.